brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
And now, part two of the November 11th, 2005 edition of JG's Radio Free Insanity.
All right, guys. So with that, join me in welcoming to the show Matt Morgan. What's happening, Matt?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to have you on. Good to have you on the show here.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's get right into it. Before anything, you have an announcement to make, so go ahead.
Well, that's why I take the time to make a big deal. It's a big announcement. Finally, I can make the official. Me and Mark Jindrak, as has obviously been rumored, have been filming a reality show via the internet. And it's located on markandmattlive.com. Once again, that's markandmattlive.com. And I'm able to finally talk about it. I got out of my 90-day release from WWE fully. So with that, if you go to markandmattlive.com, you can actually see, actually come tonight past 8 p.m., you could see it. You'll go on the icon, you could click on it, you can see a 30-second preview of what this season, a little glimpse into this season of what you're going to expect. And all it is a chance for the fans to get to know the real Matt Morgan, to get to know the real Mark Jindrak. Because unfortunately, with the prior company we worked for, we weren't, at least in my opinion, I was never given a fair opportunity to, you know, for the fans to really get to know the real me. And this is a very clear-cut, precision way for people to get to know me and Mark as well. Once again, that's markandmattlive.com, and the first episode is actually going to air anywhere between December 1st and December 25th. Right. But like I said, you can click on for a free preview starting right now. So if you guys are listening, I would get on that right away. This is cutting edge stuff. This is going to be some funny shit. Pardon the language, because you're going to see me and Mark at nightclubs. You're going to see me and Mark playing basketball, me beating Mark up, me clowning Mark, Mark clowning me, Mark hitting on girls, me, you know, getting into fights, just random stuff that we don't hold back on.
That's cool, man. Wait,
and this is the first time it's been done. Usually people, when they do these reality shows, they're not really reality shows, you know? They're kind of like, even when I did Tough Enough, I mean, it was reality, but I mean, they kind of, it's kind of worked a little bit. This hasn't worked. Like, I don't have a say as to what gets aired, you know what I mean? I send my tapes in of what we tape, and then that, whatever the editor wants to put on, the producer wants to put on, gets put on.
That's cool.
And that's the realistic approach I want about it, because that's the best way people are going to get to know who I am, who my Jindrak are.
Now, does this have anything, does WWE involved in this at all, or no?
Fuck no.
Alright, because I remember, I wanted to ask you about this, actually, when I first called you. It was a few months ago. There was rumors that you were, someone saw you buying tickets at a WWE event, and you were being videotaped.
That will be covered on the show.
Oh, alright, I gotcha.
That'll be covered on the show, and that'll be actually one of the funnier episodes. Stuff like that, that's the random things that we do. I mean, we just do stuff just to pop ourselves, just because there's things that, you know, that the business isn't all bad, you know? When I was a kid growing up, I always wanted to know, maybe it's just me, but I always wondered, like, what did these wrestlers do outside of wrestling? You know, did they have a life? Did they have a family? Where were they from? I mean, what were their weightlifting habits like? Did they diet? You know what I mean? That's what I was always interested in. And this is going to give the fans a cutting-edge approach to seeing that, you know, I'm not just some stuttering, Ritalin-popping retard who sleeps in a gym, you know, that there is a whole other side of Matt Morgan that people don't know, that I graduated fifth in my class, magna cum laude, that with a public speaking degree above all, you know? I mean, people don't know that. They're going to know that based on this reality show, because they're going to get a chance to know me. They're going to know that Mark Jindrak, that character he got to portray in the WWE, really wasn't a character. That's pretty much him, the reflection of perfection.
Uh-huh.
He's very, very arrogant. I mean, he's my friend, but he'll admit it too. He's very, very self-centered, arrogant, and gets a ton of girls, and that will all be shown on this show. I mean,
cool.
It's very, very, very funny, and people are going to get a kick out of it.
Well, I think what's cool is that people, we tend to almost forget, because we watch wrestling so long, that in reality, I mean, you guys, especially you, you're like 7 feet tall.
Yes.
In a setting like a bar, I mean, you stand out. Like, honest to God.
That's the premise. I want to show you guys, like, me walking through an airport, for instance, the triple takes that people give me, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just bizarre, and I want to include these fans in on that. I want them to see what it's like to live life as a wrestler, because, like I said, when I was growing up, I always wondered what it was like. I really did.
Mm-hmm. How does that affect you when you go out to, like, a bar? People, how often do you deal with the drunken idiot trying to fuck with you because you're the tallest
guy? Every time. That's why I very minimally go out. I try not to go out at all. I mean, I'm a married man now, so my days of going out are very minimal. But,
I hear that.
For the show, you know, I went out a little bit more with Mark. But, I mean, when I was in college, I mean, good God, I was bigger in college. I was about 365 in college, and I was a bouncer and all that. I played both football and basketball, so I always had guys getting drunk with beer muscles coming up trying to start shit with you, you know what I mean? So then it was cool because then I could beat the crap out of them and get away with it, and nowadays you can't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's twice the ratio. I have twice as many midgets coming up to me, you know, trying to start stuff, and you really gotta, you know, bite your tongue and, most importantly, put your fist in your pocket, because you're going to be paying a lot of money if you get to a fight nowadays being a wrestler. So
exactly. Changes,
I try to keep out of that situation, and lucky for me, I'm not an idiot. I'm not some Neanderthal who just came out of a cave dragging a woman by her hair to the nightclub. So I know how to verbally get myself out of these situations as well, with along getting my point across.
Well, now that you've given WWE the caveman gimmick idea, maybe you'll get soon enough, I'll be pulling Lita out of the SmackDown locker room. Well, you know, one of the things that struck me about you, man, when I first called you, you said before you do public speaking, but you have, you're very personable to talk to, and you come across with a genuine kind of personality to you. Why the hell would they give you a gimmick that not only was it a gimmick?
I'm above 6'5". If you're above 6'5", you have to be. It means either you're a bodyguard, or you can't be intelligent.
Well, that's the thing I'm saying with your gimmick. Not only was it a gimmick, but it was a gimmick that almost made sure it negated everything good you had going on. You know,
is exact polar opposite.
Yeah.
You know, I was taught to do what do what your boss tells you to do, and I try to do it to the best of my ability. I really did.
How was that presented?
I mean, it was to the point where I'd be watching movies on specific stutterers, and I was trying my ass off to get to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, buts about that. I mean, I was on airplanes, even going to SmackDown, I'd be watching the DVDs with stutterers, and it just to make sure I was doing it the right way, and busting my ass at it, to say the least. So, I mean, I tried as hard as I can, so there's nothing more I could have done on my end. I mean, in a perfect world, would I like to have been myself? Of course. Would I have gotten over? You're damn right I would have. But, I mean, unfortunately, that just wasn't in the card, so.
Well, who approached you about it? How was it presented to you as an idea?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you. It was someone I expected to know me a little bit better than they did. I really don't want to bury them, you know, get anybody in any kind of situation.
No, I mean, you have to give names, but I mean, as far as how is an
idea like that? I pulled into an office, and I got sent back on OVW once Brock Lesnar and Nathan Jones quit.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't have a story for me, you know. 7'3", 330-pound, in-shape monster. They couldn't find a storyline for me. So I get back down to OVW, where I continue my training, which I was very lucky to, because I actually got a lot better when I got sent back down. Lance Storm, Al Snow, Danny Davis, Jim Cornette all helped me out a great deal, especially with my promos. My promos got so well. They got really good. They really improved. And I got brought back up. So, upon being brought back up, they're saying, you know, Matt, we want to bring you back up. I know you're working hard down at OVW. This is what we came up with. What do you think? And yeah, I'm sitting there like, What do you mean, what do I think? What, am I sitting here to tell you no? So I can sit down at OVW for another year? Of course I'm going to say yes to whatever they told me to do. Mm-hmm. They could have told me to go out there with a freaking pink jock strap on my face and I would have done it.
Yeah.
I'd do anything, to be, you know what I mean? And they know this, you know what I mean? Especially when you've been sitting in OVW for a year, ready to go. I mean, so I was a little disappointed on the inside. Mm-hmm. I didn't let that show on the outside, however. You know, my nonverbal didn't show I wasn't disappointed, but I was on the inside.
How did you...
I just expected them to know me. I mean, especially being sent back down to OVW for a full year where they're supposedly, you know, the writers and whoever is supposed to be watching these OVW TV reports, they're supposed to be watching these tapings every week. Well, I was heavyweight champion for damn near a year down there. I cut at least two promos a show. So they know I can talk. So that's why I didn't understand why... do the exact opposite with Matt Morgan. Let's have him, in fact, not talk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really care about it now. By the time, I was really, really confusing. It really was. Well, it was kind of heartbreaking in a weird way because you bust your ass to improve, you know, and you do what you're told to do, and then you get to the dance, they cut you off at your legs.
See, well, that's what I found weird about your career was the fact that your first run in there before going to OVW and improving, you actually got a bigger push at the Survivor Series with Jones. And then
right.
You came back after all this training and after all this improvement, and they kind of sat you down. What was the rationale when you were first brought in? What did they tell you when you were brought in and kind of pushed to the moon? In the
that was very quick. That was done overnight. I was called while I was in the ring. Actually, Danny Davis got a call and said that me and Nathan are going to Survivor Series, or not Survivor Series, going to SmackDown taping, and there's a good chance we might debut, we might not. And I was like, they're going to make us a tag team? And he's like, yeah. And then I remember Jim Cornette saying, what the fuck are they thinking? And he's right. Because a giant is no longer a giant if there's someone just as tall or taller standing next to him, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
That's bad booking. You never put me next to Nathan Jones. You know what you do? Or next to Big Show, who's taller or bigger than me.
The whole team was huge.
Especially if I'm new. I'm a legit 6'10". I'm a legit 330 pounds. Big Show is enormous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't put me and Nathan next to him.
No. No,
you're
right.
What you do is you have Nathan as a heel, me as a face, in a perfect world, on exact opposite ends of the spectrum. You don't have us go anywhere near one another until a payday. That's what the marketing part of Matt Morgan is that he's big, tall, and he can talk, and he's athletic. So you don't cut three quarters of that away.
Well, did it worry you? Because even Big Show, they can't seem to find anything for him to do, and that guy's enormous, and he's still, over these years, has been treading water. Do you think that it's a matter of they like the big wrestlers but just don't know how to present them?
I don't know, because they've had Andre there, so they know the formula.
Yeah. Different
formula. It's not brain surgery. In fact, the Big John Studd versus Andre angle is what got me hooked on wrestling to begin with. That was the best, in my opinion, angle. That was the best angle done. I love that angle.
The body slam with the with Heenan grabbing the money.
It was awesome.
The whole thing.
And when they cut Andre's hair?
Yep.
That was brilliant.
That was great.
But my point is, they made a big deal about who was the giant. I mean, come on. Andre was like a head taller than Big John Studd. But as a kid, you didn't know that.
Yeah, they're just huge. No, exactly.
Yeah, and that's called getting mileage out of just off of people's looks. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Well, I think what you're saying is the biggest problem that a lot of people are saying WWE has with their booking. It's that they have this propensity to not really be into the cruiserweights and the small guys, but when they push the big guys, they're not pushing you guys right. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
They push you down to a dead end.
Yeah.
Very, very dead end. It's like a dead end job almost.
Well,
with my stuttering gimmick, you know, I was very, don't get me wrong, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to even get it. I mean, in a twisted world, I am. Because I was able to wrestle, you know, I was able to improve more. But my point is, it was a dead end gimmick because you have, okay, you're giving me so many squash matches you can do, and then you're going to throw me right in there with Big Show?
Uh-huh.
No. You work up the mid-card guys, then you work up the top-tier guys, then you work the main event guys, and then there's the face-off with the only man bigger than Matt Morgan, Big Show. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You do a run in steel, so, you know, Carlito's heat in F5 in the middle of a pay-per-view match.
Yep.
You save that.
Do you think that the writers just don't understand that anymore because the booking side of the business...
I don't know if the writers who wrote that. I don't know. I actually like the writers, the ones that I knew. There might be complete whole new writing staff by now from what I hear.
Probably.
But when I was there, some of the dudes that I knew were pretty cool. They understood. At least I thought they did. I could be wrong. Because you never know who the hell's writing your shit.
Yeah, exactly. It just gets kind of handed to you, and then that's the end of it.
You know what I mean? That's exactly it. If they just stuck to getting to know these people, their employees better,
Yeah. It's
all written, like Jim Cornette says, the guys who get over, the Hulk Hogan, the Stone Cold, the Rocks, all they are playing a part, they're not playing a part, they're just turning them, they're being themselves turned up a notch.
Exactly.
Well, if these guys don't know who their talent is, then how can you turn it up a notch?
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly. I talked about this last week on the show, this whole thing about almost like personas. Like everyone, the whole thing used to be that Steve Austin had his volume turned up. And now it almost seems like we've gone from the volume turned up days and the days of making people just be themselves to this kind of boogeyman type of mentality of people just playing
characters. To giving phony characters and then telling them to turn it up.
Mm-hmm.
Which just reeks fakeness, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, in a few years...
It reeks cartoon.
It's exactly what it is now. It feels like the mid-90s again in some cases.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff they're pushing.
Well, early 90s, yeah.
You teamed with Nathan Jones. You were his partner, and he was kind of one of those high-profile, you know, I'm getting the hell out of here type of guys. What were some of the things that you found contributed to that? Do you think he felt some of the same frustrations that you felt at times?
Well, Nathan, no. I wasn't frustrated. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't frustrated when I was first up there. I loved it. I learned a lot. I was fortunate to learn. Brock taught me a ton while I was up there. Believe it or not, Brock's quick study. Brock picked his business up quicker than anybody I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he actually helped me a lot as a big guy learned. But as far as Nathan, I think Nathan leaving, point blank, you know, the guy was in jail, you know?
Yeah.
And here he is traveling on these small planes, going all these hour charter flights around guys that he did not like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some guys he did, some guys he didn't. That's just the way the world is. And you know, he just got sick of it. He got sick of feeling like he was in prison.
Yeah.
And I looked at him the day he quit. He had tears in his eyes, and I looked at him and I was like, man, that poor guy. You know, I don't blame him. If something gets you that deeply hurt or upset, who can blame the guy for leaving?
Good point. No, you're right.
You know, well, I didn't like it because he's my partner, but nonetheless.
Let me just qualify what I said before, though, just so no one gets confused. I'm not saying that you were necessarily frustrated. I'm saying that what I've noticed with a lot of guys who have left WWE, it's really funny because we watch you guys on TV, and we see you kind of do the gimmicks and run through the hamster wheel. A lot of guys like yourself, you come off television, and you leave the company, and it seems like you have more of a grasp on what would have gotten your character over than the people who were supposed to be promoting you.
Of course, because who knows any better than me?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's got to be frustrating. I mean, at that point, now, how much input did you not have input? Did you feel...
I did. I got to give him credit. I mean, Vince told me to make this mine as much as I could, and I did. Like, there were things that I did myself. I did the comment. I did a commentary when, what was it, Mark Magnus, Muhammad Hassan came over and wrestled against Big Show.
Okay.
I wasn't scheduled to do commentary with Michael Cole and Taz, the play-by-play.
Uh-huh.
That was my idea. I said, well, I was supposed to just do a run-in or some shit like that and get chokeslammed by Big Show, I think. But I had asked if I could do commentary as well because my gimmick is a stutterer. If I do a run-in and just get chokeslammed, what am I supposed to stutter as I'm running in? That doesn't get the character over one bit.
Fine.
Now, if I'm doing play-by-play, showing some of the characters, showing some of the flashes of why I stutter. That's what I wanted to get across eventually, is what made me a Matt Morgan stutter.
Okay.
We were never able to get to that point.
No, it makes sense. Well, they also... Okay, keep going.
So they did let me... Vince did give me some sort of control on it, but the unfortunate problem was that Matt Morgan doesn't stutter, you know?
Yeah.
You can't take a circle and ram it through a square hole.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm thankful for the opportunity, but I just, you know, once again, it's not about getting the opportunity, it's about getting the right opportunity.
Well, I think the weirdest thing about your gimmick was the fact that Goldust had just done the stuttering gimmick not even, like, a year or two ago? Something like that?
I thought it was funny when he did it, though. I really did.
No, but I mean, just to repeat the same gimmick within such a short amount of time, and it's not even like they had to. It's not like you actually had a stuttering problem and they had to work it in. They just repeated the gimmick over again without really giving you enough of a backstory.
Yeah, I remember showing up at Madison Square Garden and cutting a promo. You're right.
Yeah.
I was just happy to be there, bro, you know? I was just happy to be back up on the roster. And then, you gotta understand, I've only been in business 3.5 years to this, 3.5 years to the date.
Oh, wow.
Right now. You know what I mean? So, I'm still very new, so I was just happy to be back up there. I didn't know that I could go to Japan and make a lot of money wrestling. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you hear stories of guys going to Japan, but I didn't know I could. You don't know what you're capable of when you're this young. And I'm starting to get some sort of self-realization on what I could do in this business. And, so now, you know what I mean? If that was approached, if I was approached with the same thing again, of course I would do it.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, it led to some good things. Right now you're working in Japan, right?
I wrestled with Yuji Nagata at the Dome show. That was good. It was okay. I just came off of shoulder surgery 2 weeks prior, so I wasn't even supposed to be able to wrestle, so I was very fortunate to get my ass out of the hospital and get to Japan.
Nice.
But we put on a formidable match. I mean, I could have been better, but since then I've gotten like 30,000 times better. We just did another tour. Me and Ginger just did a tour these past 3 weeks. We got to wrestle Masa Chono and his tag partner Tenzan a ton of times, and they've helped me get better tons. They're great. Everyone in New Japan, they get it. They see a big 7-foot monster walk in. They don't all of a sudden get you know wobbly knees and start getting, you know, the backstab, big knives out. They go, I want to make money with this kid.
Yep.
How can I make money with this kid? That's exactly what they say, and that's exactly what they've done.
Well, that's what, it's funny, that's what Charlie Haas actually said.
It's a breath of fresh air, because it's the exact thing, when I get older, I'm going to try to do the same damn thing. I don't see why more people don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand trying to save your job, the job security, I get that. There's only so many roster spots, so I see both, you know, both ends of the sword, I do.
Well, now, when we had Charlie Haas on a few weeks ago, he had said the same thing kind of that you just said.
What did Charlie Haas talk about?
He was at the airport, so it was kind of a quickie thing. We talked about Lesnar being in Lesnar's corner, and he talked
did he
about...
Did he tell you how he was picked to be in Brock Lesnar? No, I'm joking.
No.
Yeah. We were all done wrestling our matches, and we were watching the TV, and there's a three-way dance for the title, I guess, between Chono and Brock Lesnar and the champion. And they all had a guy in their corner, and then me and Mark were both in our gear still, and Charlie wasn't in his gear. He was in his workout clothes. So, Charlie asked, shouldn't Brock have somebody in his corner, being that, you know, we're Americans sitting here watching this. And then that's why Charlie got to go out and be in his corner. What, did Charlie make like it was a big deal that he got to be in his corner or something?
No, he was actually barely on the
phone. Don't lie!
Honest to God, man, he was at the airport when I called him. So
Charlie, if you listen, I'm just playing.
One of those side things.
I like Charlie. I'm happy Charlie's on tour with us. Charlie's funny as fuck.
Well, he seemed, you know what, he kind of said everything you said. He said that in Japan that he...
It's a breath of fresh air. We're whole different people, dude. I can't... I'm telling you right now, I'm not just trying to plug New Japan, but...
Right.
This sounds really corny, but I'm telling you to get the DVDs and watch the difference of my matches.
Between then and now?
Oh, my God. It's night and day. What? I'm not constantly looking over my shoulder. I'm not constantly, you know... I'm not in just, like, boring squash matches. I'm in competitive matches where I'm actually allowed to wrestle. And I wrestle my size.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when I come off my feet, believe it or not. There's times when I come off the top rope, believe it or not, without getting screamed at.
Yes, that's the thing. WWE, they used to put kind of like a restriction on that.
I understand that, and it's understood, because there's psychology involved in these matches, and it doesn't make sense for 7-footer to come off the top rope. But, my gimmick is I am the blueprint Matt Morgan. I am the prototype of what the new giant has evolved into. A walking, talking, running, jumping, breathing giant. Not just some big, lethargic Neanderthal who can't see past his own gut.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So there are situations where it does make sense for a big man to call the top rope. Undertaker does it. Kane does it. And that's what sets them apart, in my opinion, to from any other big man is the fact that those two are the most athletically gifted big men that I've seen, especially Taker and Kane. And those two are the two reasons why I'm wrestling right now, to be honest with you, besides Andre and Big John Studd.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely Taker and Kane. Big fans of them.
Did how much of an influence did either one of them have once you get there? Did you get to
Kane had an enormous amount of influence. He's my first big match I've ever had. He came down to OVW, and I was a babyface at the time. It was my first year total. I just got done with Tough Enough and everything.
Uh-huh.
He came down to Six Flags, and I hardly knew anything. And he worked a match at the Six Flags show with me. His babyface was a babyface match, and it was awesome. I mean, for at my level where I was, he led me through an easy match, and the fans loved it. Cornette loved it. I loved it. He loved it. It was really good for where I was at that stage of my career. It was a really big boost for me. You know what I mean? And then Undertaker, unfortunately for me, when I first got called up with Team Lesnar, Taker had taken time off. So, you know, I'd always meet him, you know, passing and going type things. And then when I called back up as a stuttering retard, I got to talk to him a lot then. But unfortunately, you know, I got released. But before I really learned as much as I would have liked to have learned from him, God, I could have learned a lot from him.
Well, I think, you know, what's actually cool, just talking to you now, it sounds like you have an enthusiasm that it sounds like you haven't had for a little while about the character that you're playing now and being in New Japan.
How
is that affecting you in the ring?
What's that?
How does that affect you in the ring? How does that change your performance, just being happy with what you're doing?
You don't second guess what to do in the ring, you know what I mean? Because I know WWE, they want, if you're a big, you know, ass-kicking monster, you know, you gotta come out like this and like that, and that's not what every big man has to be like, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, look at Kevin Nash. What I always thought was cool about Kevin Nash was he was cool. I always thought he was cool, calm, and collected. And then at the turn of a switch, boom, he's in fifth gear kicking your ass with his big boot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I thought that was cool. And that's a little bit toward my style. I'm very intense when it's time to be intense, but I like to show the gear changes. I don't like just to go from first to fifth gear. And with New Japan style, they're giving me, you know, 20-minute matches. I'm able to show all of those gear changes, so to speak.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you understand what I mean? And in the squash match in WWE, I couldn't do that. All you see is fifth gear.
Well, I meant a different
thing. Which actually is the right way to... Which is the right way to bring somebody in my size. You're supposed to show everybody fifth gear because that's what sells as a big man when you're first brought in. But then, you know, I missed that one stage when they're supposed to have you wrestle against the big card guys and then the top tier guys and then Big Show.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I kind of feel like I got some of that out, you know?
Well, you'd kind of gone backwards. I think that you had gone from doing the stint with Big Show when you were F5ing him left and right, and the next thing you know, on your way out, you were fighting the Mexicools while wrestling.
No, I didn't even fight them. I was done.
You never had a match against them, right? They just attacked you, or?
I was supposed to wrestle William Regal, and then they came out and jumped him or some shit. I don't even remember. And then they magically jumped me.
Yeah, it's amazing. And now they're not doing much with them either. It just seems like, the one thing that I've noticed about WWE, it just seemed like there was never a long-term plan for anything. Things would happen and...
No, nothing. There's no long-term plan for anything there. Unless you're a very established wrestler. That's probably about it. Because I don't... No, there's no long-term plan. Because I'd even ask.
Yeah.
You know, where are we going with this? You know, we'll figure that out next week. Well, that determines what we do this week.
Yeah.
Like Jim Cornette always told me, a good booker, Jim Cornette used to have his stuff booked 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. I'm no booker, so I'm not, who am I to say, but I just know that if you don't know what you're doing next week with me, that's not a good sign.
What are your feelings on Cornette? Because he's definitely a controversial character, and either have people who
are... He's a controversial character, but I think he's forgotten more than half of what WWE knows.
Yeah. Well, he's not there anymore. I don't know.
Right.
Did you know? Yeah. So, I mean, it just sounds funny because a lot of the people that have worked with him, they either love him, as you do, and his
exactly. That's exactly it. Do you love him or you hate him?
Uh-huh.
I love him. He's done a lot for me. He's helped me the world. He's grown my confidence. He's helped with my pro promos. I mean, this guy has given me thousands of tapes. I mean, I can't even count how many times I've come to his house just to watch promo tapes.
Yeah.
Seriously. And if you ever had the time to, if you ever watched my promos from when I first started as Babyface in OVW, Tough Enough Matt Morgan, to heel Matt Morgan to champion, it is night and day. And a lot of that is, yeah, me getting better, but it's also Jimmy giving me the confidence and giving me the mic time.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that I'll never, ever forget.
Well, and that's something that's missing a lot in the major promotions now. And it's kind of the only thing that you can only find in smaller places where
yeah.
the promoter has
well,
been.
A lot of it, you know, the other thing is, you know, let's say WWE was, I don't know if it still is, but there's a lot of guys there. There's a lot of guys and not that much time, you know, so it's kind of tough.
You got to fit everybody in.
It really is. I mean, when I remember when Batista came over to SmackDown, I was like, when those trades were made and stuff, I was like, how are all these guys, how are we all supposed to, you know, evolve? You know?
Oh, it's too much to work. It's kind of like the Divas. They bring in 30 of them at once and then can't figure out why they can't get any of their characters into the public eye at all because they don't have time to
it's
focus
too
on
many
anyone.
People.
Yeah, too many people.
Too many people, not enough time.
I think the turnaround has been so big lately, too. It just seems like there's always new people coming in and going out, and they release so many of you guys at once.
That was a lot.
How was that? How did you find out about that?
Johnny East called me. I saw the guys that got released the day before, and I was just about to start giving them calls and seeing how they were feeling, you know, and just start sending out my regards, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was going to call Jim, Jack, and Maven, and then... Sure enough, I got the call, and I was like, you're fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
The only reason I even said that is just because I'm so damn young. I mean, I'm the youngest guy in this business, hands down. I mean, I don't lie about my age. I don't lie about my height. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't as tall as they say they are. They're not as big as they say they are. They're definitely not as old as they say they are, or young as they say they are. Mm-hmm. And, there's very few guys, I'm not trying to, I mean, I might sound arrogant saying this, but fuck it. There's not that many guys my height, my size, my age that have grasped this business as quickly as I have. I know I've got eons to go, and I'm going to just keep improving.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt that, you know, that's their loss, not mine, at the end of the day. I know it sounds very superficial to say, but it really is. It really is their loss, because New Japan's using me the right way. They don't even know me, but they're letting me be me.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think it's a good outlook that you have. I think that it shows that at least you have your mind set on definitely improving, and you also realize how many years you have left in the business to still make, you know, a huge splash over time. I mean, to do what you've done so far, you were in the... I still harp on the main event of Survivor Series, because to me, I still think that was a major, major deal to have on your resume.
Yeah, thank you. It was. I thought so, too.
To be in that tag match. Before I close you out here, I'm gonna ask you a question that's going to be a little bit off from probably what you've been normally asked. Usually people kind of ask you to tear somebody apart or anything like that, but when you were in WWE, who do you think gets the worst rap as far as people that you find get torn down by outsiders but aren't really all that bad?
JBL and Hardcore Holly get probably ripped. Everyone overdoes that.
Yeah?
Bob, believe it or not, Bob Holly is a pretty good teacher. Believe it or not, if, you know, he's going to give you a hard time because that's his job. He's been there forever, and I agree with it. I mean, fuck, you got to protect his business. It's not just for anybody to come in and take and just be given an opportunity and not respect it. So, you know, as far as Bob Holly, I think he's a good teacher. I think, I agree with half the stuff he does. I do.
He was one of the trainers, right, on Tough Enough?
What's that?
Wasn't he one of the trainers in the second?
Yes, he was, and he was a good trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as JBL, he's probably one of the best heels I've ever seen in person.
Yeah.
As far as doing his job of getting heat. God, everywhere we went, I'd try to go with, you know, by the curtain and watch through the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They hated him. And I'm like, that's a fucking heel. That's how you do it. You don't want to get pops. You don't want to get cheered as a heel.
Yep.
That's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to draw heat, and he does it. So I always read reports about, you know, those two getting, you know, whatever, people not liking them maybe or whatever, but fuck it, I think they're both very good at their jobs.
Nice. Well, Matt, we appreciate you having on. Before we let you go, why don't you plug the site and the new reality show again for us?
That's MarkandMattLive.com. Most cutting-edge reality wrestling show going now. You can check it out once again at MarkandMattLive.com. See a 35-second streamline commercial. Just give you guys a heads up on what's coming up on this season. You can see some funny stuff on Mark Jindrak and Matt Morgan's part. And it's going to be some entertaining stuff, and I promise you, you will not hear any stuttering bullshit.
Beautiful, man, beautiful. We'll definitely keep everybody updated. I'll have a link on the page, and hopefully we'll have you and Mark on again real soon, man.
I appreciate the time, man. Thank you, James.
You got it, Matt.
Take care, man.
So there you have it, guys. Matt Morgan finding life after WWE to actually be pretty good over in Japan. And starting tonight, you can check out the preview of his reality show on MarkandMattLive.com. There's also a link on the page for the audio in case you were wondering where you could find that and you don't know how to spell MattandMarkLive.com, which really, I mean, that's your own fault if you can't spell it. Anyway, yeah, guys, remember, this is not where the guests end. We actually have a lot more guests coming in. Every week I want to have at least one person on the phone line, maybe so you guys can get some different points of view. You could hear from some people you haven't heard from in a while, maybe some people who don't normally give interviews. So we do have a lot of things lined up. I think you'll be enjoying that. And down the line, don't forget, we're going to be adding some more features to the site soon, and we are going to be opening up a section soon enough where you guys might be able to interact with a lot of our guests, maybe ask some of your own questions, perhaps participate in real-time chats. That's all down the line, but I promise you, it is in the works, and you guys are going to enjoy it. So yeah, that's about it. I invite you once again to take a look at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Check out the new things posted. There is a new Zaw column up tonight. We will be having SmackDown rundowns, and for those of you guys who are looking for TV reports and virtual time updates on pay-per-views and things like that, WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, and I'm not just saying it because I write for them, we have been really quick with getting the TV reviews up and getting especially the real-time WWE pay-per-view results that we do. I swear, once the bell rings, Cillian Varini does this, and once the bell rings to end the match, he's got his write-up done. So definitely check us out, guys. If you're looking for real-time updates for Raw, WWE pay-per-views, or just looking for TV reports right after the show ends, definitely check out WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. So until next week, and we meet again, this is James Gutman saying be well, and thank you guys for sharing our insanity.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.